scripture reading for this evening will be taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Romans 1, 14 through 17, and this will be for the New King James. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Good evening to all of you. Welcome to our Sunday evening assembly. And I think I forgot to put it in the announcements this morning that this was going to be the evening I would do the trip report, but it is. For this particular trip, my original objective was Oman, which is right over here. And why there? I had been to the United Arab Emirates. Some of those countries, I think I just had a prejudice that they wouldn't be very receptive, they wouldn't be very friendly. A couple of years ago, I went to the United Arab Emirates, had Bible studies in Dubai, had Bible studies in Abu Dhabi. And as I've mentioned before, it's sort of been my little niche, if you will, to try to go places that not a lot of people go. I've been to some places there'd be half a dozen or a dozen people going at once, and that's great. There's do a lot of good doing that, but I don't know. I thought if I'm going to go a place, I don't want to sit and listen to somebody else preach that I know. I'd rather go to some different place. So after going there, I thought, what about Oman? And I began to look there several years ago to see if I could find a church there. Looked on the internet, didn't find it. I even made a reservation at a hotel and wrote the hotel and says, can you help me find a Church of Christ? And they said, there's not any. And I said, there must be something around there. And they said, well, here's some names of denominational churches. But anyhow, that was the original objective, and I'll explain how it was I finally got there. And really, these two stops here in Italy and Switzerland, one of their purposes was trying to break up a long trip a little bit along the way. But before I get too far, let me, as I always do and very sincerely do, thank you all. You all are such an encouragement to me. I mean, I guess in any town I could go get on an airplane and go to some of these places, but it wouldn't be the same. Your prayers, your interest, your encouragement. And I've explained in the past, those middle two are linked. Your interest in where I go and opportunities I have, it's great encouragement to me. Financial support, several of you have supported the financial journeys over the year, and now the church supports the journeys. That is a big help. That is a great help. So, why Oman? Well, I looked and tried to find a place and couldn't find a place and couldn't find a place. And then on Facebook, I know people have mixed feelings about Facebook. Facebook has been such a help to me in many ways. And this was one of them. I saw a man on there. I guess he appeared to be a member of the Lord's church. And he said he lived in Oman. And so I sent him a message. And he says, well, I don't really live in Oman. I live in India. Well, as it turns out, he has a job. He has a very good job. He spent some time in India and some time in Oman. So I made connections with Eddie Joel, and we corresponded for a couple of years. He seemed like a good guy. I don't think he had a lot of faithful Christians in his life, either in India or in Oman. So sometimes when a question would come up, he would send it to me and give me a chance to try to help answer it from the scriptures. And we built a good relationship over the internet. And I asked him about going there. He says, I haven't found a church here. And he says, you know, it probably really wouldn't be good for you to come here. It'd be kind of, might be kind of conspicuous in the places that we might go to try to teach. And that's the way it was for several months. And then a few months ago, he got a different house. He had a house that was large enough. He was able to have Bible studies in his house. And what I found out was it was people he's from southern India. He's from Tamil Nadu. And a Tamil-speaking person. And he found other people from India there and began to host them in his home. And I'll show you some pictures of that in a few minutes. So anyhow, He finally had a house, and he had very good facilities. He's a high-tech guy. He's got the videos, and he casts his phone onto the screen and all of that. So very good technical support there in Oman. So, now, Oman was indeed quite a ways away, so when I knew I was going that direction, I remembered an email that I'd gotten from a friend 2 or 3 years ago that says, "Oh, I've got a contact in Italy." And I forget a lot of things now, but if it's a contact in a foreign country, that seems to kind of hang onto my brain. So I followed it up, and sure enough, that person knew somebody that knew somebody in Rome. And I corresponded with the person, and they said, "Sure, you know, we'll let you come." They knew well enough, the person that knew me, that they felt comfortable asking me. I mean, you can imagine if somebody were to write a letter here and write the elders and say, "Oh, I'd like to preach Sunday morning," I guarantee you there'd be a lot of investigating going on before the elders here would turn the pulpit over to a complete stranger. And to their credit, many of the churches overseas are that way. It gives me confidence that they are indeed very conscientious and sound. So I went to Rome. What can I say about Rome? In one of the Facebook posts, I said, "I don't think there is a spot that you can stand in the city of Rome, or at least not in the downtown area or the historic district. I don't think there's a place that you can stand and point your camera that it will not wind up being pointed at an old building, an old statue, an old column, or an old pillar." And I've been a few places, but it was just amazing. The Colosseum. There's the outside, there's the inside, and if you do have Facebook, if you look on my Facebook, I use my little 360-degree camera when I was on the inside, so you can see what it is like to stand there. I think, if anything, it looks bigger in person than it does in the pictures. I finally just said, "This place is too big to take pictures of." This, on the lower left-hand corner, is the Pantheon, old building. Inside, you know, are worship facilities for many, many gods and images of them. I was just intrigued by that. The one on the lower right is the Trevi Fountain. I think maybe it's famous not so much because of history, but because of the movie industry. You remember, there's some of you old enough to remember Three Coins in the Fountain. Well, that was the fountain. And I thought, yeah, really, you know, there are lots of fountains. But I looked up the old movie and looked at some of the pictures there, and sure enough, that's where it was. Big crowd of people there. And did I throw in a coin? No, I didn't. I very purposefully did not throw in a coin because I did not want people to think I was superstitious. So I didn't do that. But Rome, kind of an amazing place down in the park that has all the so many historic buildings. The place that I had to preach was kind of out in the suburbs. And in the end, I really liked that. That's the church building there. And I thought I'd just kind of give you an impression of up and down the street out in front of the church building. In fact, this, maybe it's a couple of blocks down the street, this was the hotel that I stayed in. They recommended a hotel that was close by. It's plenty good. And those of you with eagle eyes can see the McDonald's sign right there. I never ate at it. But if you saw my post when I was eating breakfast down in the breakfast area in the basement of the hotel, you can look out the window and see it. And I said, it was up there calling to me. And my son Jeff said, "No, it's peeking in to see what good food looks like." So I like McDonald's. I don't eat McDonald's rarely in the U.S., but overseas, it's been a blessing to me many times. But a nice little suburban area, church building here. You go through here, then you go through a sort of another little entryway into the church assembly areas back there. But I was just a very fun, and only about 3 or 4 blocks from the metro or the subway station, so I could catch that. And I braved those trains once. So the people are just extremely nice. And after I got there, one of my friends reminded me of Romans 1:15, "So much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to those at Rome also." It's embarrassing to me that I didn't think about it, but somebody thought about it for me, and I thought, yeah, I've been blessed with a lot of opportunities, but something's just kind of special about preaching at Rome. That was the assembly area. Vittorio Vitelloni was the preacher. and I had an opportunity to preach there and be translated into Italian. I visited a number of places, but never Italian before. People were just very friendly. And I have this same message I do everywhere. You know, kind of on the theory, if it's not broken, don't fix it. It just seems to be my sermon on faith, love, and hope. I'm sure I've preached it here at least a couple of times over the years. Just seems to be simple, easy to understand, and they're encouraged by it, and they were very encouraging to me after the message. Something happened there that had not happened before. I mean, from my trips to India in the late 1900s, I realized there's a problem in worshiping. I mean, because we want to be able, we're supposed to sing. We're supposed to sing a song of praise to God. And if they're singing in a language we don't understand, that kind of complicates it. Well, in India, what they would do, they would always make sure that they sang a song, albeit in Tamil, that was the same tune as a song that we knew. So I could be singing along in English, accompanying their singing in Tamil. What they did here, and I didn't know that they were going to do it, they sang two or three songs in Italian. And one song, they sang the first verse in Italian, and the second verse, whole congregation sang it in English. So I could join right in with that. I thought, that's great. I guess they all memorized enough English to be able to do that one particular verse. I thought that was a great idea. And, you know, surely in Rome they probably have quite a few visitors, so maybe they're a little bit more attuned to things like that. But it was great. Can you be an encouragement just with spending a short period of time with Christians? My conclusion is yes, you can. And the lesson that I have, you know, wherever it came from, seems to be an encouraging lesson, but sometimes they're just encouraged that you came that far to see them. Again, I assume that Rome is kind of like Athens. They probably have a lot of visitors, or a lot more than other places. But it was, I tell you, it's certainly encouraging to me to find the people. And had supper with a preacher and his wife the night before. And a lot of these relationships, they last a long time. Here, this very competent preacher, competent members, I'm sure competent elders, but some areas, once they get to know me, they, you know, send me some of their Bible questions along the way. And I really like that. I can do foreign evangelism from the comfort of my desk. So, and from there on, then from there, from Rome, I was headed to Doha. Now, again, I'd been in the Emirates before and had Bible studies there. I was headed to Oman and was going to have opportunities, thanks to Eddie Joel, to preach there. But in Qatar, I didn't have an opportunity to preach. I just went there to visit a Christian. A Christian that I know. A Christian that you know. I went to see Helen. And what a joy it was to see Helen. I mean, she's always such an upbeat person. She spent like a year in South Korea and has been 2 years in South Korea. And it's been three quarters of a year, two thirds of a year here. Helen is doing good. Helen, I thought, was just the perfect blend of the very upbeat, you know, and funny Helen that we have known and loved. But she's very serious. She's plotting and plotting her Air Force career and is working her way into a condition to be a pilot. The ultimate goal of being a fighter pilot. I thought that was neat. Now, that's the skyline of Doha in the background there. We took a tour. I was going to be there, just have a few hours with her, so we took a tour so we could, you know, we could chat along the way, but we could also see some of the sights. I don't know that she even had many opportunities to do sightseeing. The base is a half an hour away. But there is the question in this picture is, which is more impressive, the skyline of Doha or the length of Helen's hair? She says she's found somebody that's very good at cutting long hair, and she plans to get some of it cut off. But that was what a delight. So we did take a tour. Speaking of hair, this was at the museum, at the Museum of Islamic Art. This is a horse with armor on it, which I just thought was kind of unusual. And look at this guy's beard. Talk about hair. You see, I was doing this. I should have been doing this because he's got it all the way up to his nose, if you can see that picture. This was one of the markets. Now, I've been to the markets, the night markets, or markets in many places, and usually it's a big old tent arrangement, and they've got the market booths packed in there as tight as they can get them. And inside every booth, they have as much stuff as they can possibly get. This was an elegant place in Doha. It was just amazing. I had never seen anything like that. I could show you several more pictures, or you can look on Facebook. And then in conclusion, I thought you might like to see one more picture of Helen. We were in the market, and she was having an opportunity to sample some coffee. And I'm not sure what was quite so exciting about the coffee, but the Helen we know and love. And Doha, the picture on the left is a picture I took as I was flying in. That's the most of those cities over there have a corniche, they have a highway, and it's just littered with buildings. The daytime, they're beautiful. And the nighttime, I thought they were elegant. I went up to one of the high floors in the building. I just couldn't stop taking pictures. Really, really pretty. Okay, so Middle East. I've been to Doha. I've been to the United Arab Emirates. I can show you some pictures of Muscat, but I tell you, they're not the scary places that sometimes we think they are. Now, maybe I was just blessed, but I was around with a lot of people, and the people are friendly. They're very receptive, and they are pretty different to look at. Then on to Muscat, not too long a flight from Doha over there. Welcome to Muscat. I could tell flying in this was going to be different. If in Doha the intent was to be splashy with the colors, it was the upside down of that in Oman. You can see the buildings there. I mean, they have a plainness, a simplicity to them. I don't even know what that was, but I thought it was interesting looking. But so, to continue the story, I was looking for a place in Oman, in Muscat, to preach, and was talking to Eddie and developing that relationship. And during the process, some friends of mine from Virginia, about 1980, went there. This young lady right here is about the age of our sons, Jeff and Chris. And in 78, when I finished my degree, I went up to Northern Virginia and we visited a congregation. And by the way, we visited on a Sunday, and before the next Sunday came around, two men were knocking on our door, came to greet us and welcome us. One of those men was this young lady's father. So they became friends for many, many years, and I guess they were there just a couple of more years. But this is Lisa and her husband, Don Osborne. Now, what I found out is some of you know them. They went over to MacArthur at some point for a few years, but there's Don and Lisa, her name was Caples, Osborne, and their two girls, which were a delight to be around. So I was so grateful that my visit there was the right timing with them. They, too, had not found a Church of Christ. I think there's some facility where they could worship, you know, some military installation. He works with the State Department. And they sent me some pictures. When Mike Pompeo went over there, he was part of the delegation. He was there in the room. She had a by-name invitation to go visit with Pompeo's wife. So I don't know exactly what he does there. Maybe it's safer for me if I don't know. But they have a very responsible opportunity there. So the old friends living in Muscat, and then again, there's the new friends. Yeah, there's Eddie Joel, his wife, his father, Silsby Selvanigam. And he knew Raj's dad, or knew of Raj's dad, the preacher, one of the ones that we know best in southern India. So I thought that was kind of a small world story also. But he was going to be staying there with his son, Eddie, for just a few more weeks. And Eddie says, please come when my dad's here. And so I did. And I was glad that I did. I enjoyed very much having the opportunity to get to know them. One sightseeing story here. Eddie has an extremely good job. He is a purchaser for a very large, I say, construction company. I think they manage construction. And on top of the highest mountain in Oman, they built this resort. Now, it may not look very fancy, but their objective is not to be a distraction from the scenery. This, he says, is one of the top two or three resorts in the Middle East, not just Oman. And they took us on a tour. He hadn't been up there in a couple of years since he had helped complete it. But one of the little One of the little cabins was a two-bedroom cabin. One of the, whatever you want to call it, had two bedrooms. Each bedroom had its own swimming pool, had its own infinity pool, if you know what those are. So I was mildly impressed. But it was a wonderful place to go for sightseeing. I mean, I had a chance to see some of the rugged territory. And this is Muscat, and this is where we came to go to this place. And with my trusty GPS, there's a vertical profile. We started out at sea level and went over 8,000 feet in a distance of 120 miles. To go to that place, you had to go in a four-wheel drive. It was just one of the requirements. The roads were paved. But that was, if you want to see some, I mean, that could be some places in the U.S. too, but some rugged territory. Oman, very different looking people, very friendly. I'm thinking Oman is one of the best kept secrets about a place that's interesting to go. But opportunities to teach is what I went there for, and I had them. And I was expecting a few people. He had 24 people that came to the Bible study. He had Bible studies a couple of nights and worship service. Many of the places I go, I have opportunity to speak only to those who are members of the Lord's church. Not the case here. The only members of the Lord's church are Eddie Joel, his wife, and his parents. All of these were people from different denominations that he had attracted there, I suppose because of the common Tamil culture. But I had opportunities to share the gospel with people who had not obeyed the gospel. And that was a little unusual for me, and I was grateful for the opportunity to do that. Again, people very friendly. And it was kind of nice because I could probably relate to them pretty well because I've spent, you know, many weeks in southern India in the late 90s and early 2000. One trip was Stan Stockton. And I think maybe they kind of enjoyed having an opportunity to listen to and talk with somebody who was familiar with their homeland. So 24 people. And he was asking if I wanted to use a projector. I said, no, if you got a whiteboard, that'll be fine. So those of you who've been through my open Bible studies, you'll recognize some of those pictures there. And in fact, that was kind of another part of the small world story. As I corresponded with him over the past couple of years, at one point he says, Stan, do you know of any sound material in the Tamil language? I got to believe you, there's a lot of people you can ask that question to, and they're like, you know, what's Tamil? Well, from the times I went to India, one time when I went there, I taught in the preaching school. And I taught them how to use my open Bible study material. So in preparation for that, the preacher in southern India that I knew back then had it all translated. So I was able to give him material I knew was sound because it was my material. It's the material that's on our website, except it's in English on the website. Uh-oh. But there it is. Yeah. Tamil is an interesting looking language, what can I say? And you see one of the diagrams that I have in the material is the same diagram I was drawing on the board there. So I sent that material to Eddie, and he's been using it not only in India when he's in India, but he's been using my material to teach the people there in Oman. And when I came there, I asked him, now, can I teach lessons from it? And he said, sure, that would be great. So that was kind of an extra special treat. Don and Lisa picked me up again and took me to one of the sites there, the Sultan Qaboos Grand Mosque. And that's a beautiful structure. It's an impressive structure. I would tell you there's still some dissidence in my brain when I see that kind of attractiveness attracting people away from Christianity. But it is a pretty place. And then I had an opportunity to not just teach, but an opportunity to preach. Preach to the people that were there. And again, he was using his slide there. I don't think this was scripture reading. I think this was the words to one of the songs. But my American friends came and joined in the worship service that Sunday night. So I don't know what will happen, but neither group has a Church of Christ to go assemble with. I was kind of hoping if I could get them together once, then maybe they would choose to get together more times. And again, with the Indians that are there, the people from India, the only members are Eddie Joel and his wife and his parents. Of course, I think they're going back to India, or at least his father is. So I thought, That could really be supportive and reinforcing if he had some other people there that were members of the Lord's church. So, as I was planning this trip, at some point I realized, wow, it's a long ways over there. It's a long ways back. So I had decided to change planes in Zurich and just spend a night there. It's like a 9-hour flight to there and a 9-hour flight home. And at one time I would have done that, but I thought, I think I'm just not going to do that this time. So decided to spend the night there. Well, once that happens, then my opportunistic brain begins to start cycling. And I thought, I was going to arrive in Zurich like at 6 o'clock on a Monday morning. Not a typical time for Bible studies. If it had been a Wednesday night, I would have thought I had a chance. But I found a church on the internet and wrote to the preacher and says, I don't suppose you by chance have any people that are having a Bible study on Monday, do you? Because I'm coming through there, I'd like to participate. And he said, no. What he said he would do is, he said that they have a preacher elders luncheon together once a month. And he said they would schedule that on the day that I was there. So I could meet with them. And I thought that was very nice. I said, maybe if I can talk to you all, maybe we can lay the groundwork for me presenting a lesson next time I come through. Well, a few days later, he wrote me, he says, he's a great personality. He says, Stan, I have an idea I think you'll like. They have a meeting of people who are retired once a month, a luncheon together. And he said, I asked them the last time they met, would they like to hear a real live Texas preacher? I said, that sounds great. That was very thoughtful of him. I said, I may be a bit of a disappointment as a Texan without the hat, without the boots and all of that, but I was glad to do that and had lunch with him and presented Faith, Love, and Hope Bible study with them. What a wonderful, pleasant group of people. Preacher was there. A couple of the elders was there. One of the elders was from India. And so had those discussions with him. Been there, done that, presented my lesson. He liked the lesson so much, he says, give me a copy of that. He says, I can use that as a devotional when I go back to India. So I thought that was great. So I have now met with the Christians and done Faith, Love, and Hope in Zurich, Switzerland. But the opportunistic part of my brain started working again. I thought, what's around here? I've got, a day or maybe 2 days here. And what's close to there is the Matterhorn. And I don't know if you've looked at the Matterhorn. I have for years thought that was an amazing thing. So I managed to figure out how to use their train system. It took 3 trains to get there. It took 4.5 hours. 2 trains up to Zermatt and 1 train, Cograil, further up the mountain toward the Matterhorn. But riding a train through the Alps with the snow is not a bad way to spend the time. And I decided to go up higher because weather over there is bad. There's snow, there's fog, and I thought if I'm going to try to see that mountain, I want to get close enough that I can maybe really see it. Well, I got close enough to see it. But the way the train system ran, I got up there that night. I thought, I'll get up there at night, and then maybe I can stay till at least noon the next day, and if there's fog, maybe it'll clear. But I got there at night, and I had a window that faced it. I don't think I got a lot of sleep. I kept getting up about every hour on the hour and taking more pictures. But that's in the moonlight. I thought that was just really pretty. You see that thing down there? It looks like an engine or something, doesn't it? But that is the train station. So the last segment of the train that gets up to Gornergrat, you land there and you walk, I don't know, just a few hundred feet to the elevator that takes you to the hotel. But I never thought about pictures at night. I was on the train and the preacher from Zurich texted me. He says, can you see it in the moonlight? I thought, I don't know. Hadn't looked. But I could see it a little bit. But after we got there, this is probably 4 or 5 in the morning. After it just kept getting brighter all the time. So, okay. Into the Turisto stuff there. And so, Matterhorn, 14,692 feet. I guess I should show you a wide. What's impressive is that in that area, that's not all that impressive. there are a couple of peaks that you can see that I think are higher than that. I think there are four of the peaks in the Swiss Alps that are more than 4,000 meters that are right there in that spot. And that height's right there, that is taller than any mountain in the continental United States. Now, Alaska's got, of course, got some that are higher, but anyhow, opportunistic tourism. But I was that was an interesting place to see. Then I told them, when I had met with them at lunch before, I said, you know, if there are conversations that get started, we want to continue. I planned to go see the mountain and be back that night. And I said, oh, great. So the preacher invited me over for dinner and with one of the elders. And just of all the places I visited on this trip, except with Helen, of course, I probably enjoyed the conversations there more than any place else. If I could go back to one place, go back and spend some time with those people. They were really, really nice. So they had me for a traditional Swiss meal called raclette. And I don't know why I didn't take a picture of the group that was there. Staring at the food, I guess. But this is kind of a little grill on top. And underneath there's a little heating area. Those are handles of a little thing that's about the size of the palm of my hand. And you put a piece of cheese on there, and you put it under there, and you melt it. And then you get a baked potato, and you swish up the baked potato, and you scrape that cheese off on top of the potato. And then you get the bacon and all the other grilled stuff. There's the potato with my piece of cheese on it. But it was really good. And the fellowship, it was just wonderful. You want to go someplace, I'll give you the contact information for them. I think they would graciously accept anybody there. With or without the Texas boots and the Texas hat. So headed back home. The Zurich Flughafen out of there, and you may recognize the tower at Dulles in Washington, D.C., and then back home. I had thought that I was going to meet with two sets of Christians, had an opportunity to meet three, deliver messages in three different countries. What a blessing that is. The fellowship is just amazing. If we ever think that we kind of get the syndrome that, oh, woe is us, we're the only faithful ones left in the country or in the world, it's just not true. There are some very conservative congregations scattered here, there, and everywhere. So in conclusion, thank you all again for your encouragement, for your support. I can't imagine me doing this apart from you. You all have been such an encouragement in so many ways. At the end of this, you know, we go into other countries to preach the gospel, ready to preach at Rome, ready to preach anywhere. But the gospel is for those of us that are here. If there are any of you that are not Christians, if you're not quite sure how that happens, talk to somebody here. We won't tell you. We'll show you the scriptures of how that happens. Or if in some way that you're struggling, maybe with your faith, love, or hope, then if there's some way we can help, we'd be glad to do that. If you'll come forward as we sing.